சாது அருணாச்சலா, மேஜர் ஏடபிள்யூ சாட்விக். லூயிஸ் பஸ் ஃப்ரம் இங்கிலாந்து ஹேஸ் பீன் இன்ஸ்பயர்ட் டு டூ எக்ஸ்டென்சிவ் ரிசர்ச் அண்ட் ரைட்டிங் ஆன் தி லைஃப் ஆஃப் ஆலன் வென்ட்வொர்த் சாட்விக், ஹிஸ் ஃபேமிலி மெம்பர்ஸ் அண்ட் த ஹிஸ்டாரிக்கல் இன்ஃப்ளூயன்ஸ் தட் கைடட் த கோர்ஸ் ஆஃப் தர் லைஃப்ஸ். இன் லூயிஸ் மேனஸ்கிரிப்ட், சாட்விக்ஸ் லைஃப் ஜேர்னி இஸ் ஆல்சோ நீட்லி ஓவன் டுகெதர் வித் த லைஃப் அண்ட் டீச்சிங்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி சேஜ் ஆஃப் அருணாச்சலா, ஸ்ரீ ரமண மகரிஷி. பிலோ இஸ் அ ஷார்ட் எக்ஸப்ட் ஃப்ரம் சாப்டர் 36, மரூன்ட் த மெடிடேஷன் பெல்ட். பட் த மோஸ்ட் க்ளோரியஸ் சிம்பிள் ஆஃப் சாட்விக்ஸ் கேப்டிவிட்டி ஹியர் வாஸ் ஹிஸ் ஃபேமஸ் மெடிடேஷன் பெல்ட். ஒன்ஸ் ஹீ ஹேட் ரியலைஸ்ட் that the natives found the sight of him sitting on a chair in the old hall singularly offensive, the most pressing problem this spiritual crusoe faced was making himself comfortable at his guru's feet. After all, that was the only reason he was on this desert isle in the first place. He was undergoing all this isolation and difficulty just so that he could sit in the presence of Bhagavan. In the absence of chairs, the whole enterprise became pointless if he couldn't sit on the floor. The answer was a strip of canvas some 6 or 8 inches across, whose two ends could be fastened together with a pair of large catches. Like most of us who can't sit cross-legged, Chadwick generally attempted to make himself comfortable in that position by clutching his knees. This, of course, provided only the most precarious and temporary solutions, which might just about be sustained for the time required to take a photograph, but was not really conducive to long meditation sessions. The canvas belt solved the problem by clutching Chadwick's legs for him, thus leaving him free to relax his arms. Once he had wrapped the belt around his back and fastened it in front of his legs, all he had to do was rest against a wall, and he would be able to sit there quite happily for hours. Comfortable though it may have been, the belt did look rather odd. The tall Westerner in his white pajamas was already conspicuous enough in the old hall, but that contraption made him little short of freakish. One day, as everyone was getting up to go for lunch, Bhagavan caught Chadwick's eye. Realizing that he wanted to say something, Chadwick approached the couch. It appeared that some schoolboys, noticing his predicament, had gone up to Bhagavan and said in Tamil, "What has he done wrong? Why have you tied him up like that?" If Bhagavan found this so hilarious, it was perhaps partly because he understood the symbolism of that belt. Like all of us, Chadwick could only become liberated by allowing himself to be tied up. Only imprisonment could set him free. The ultimate victory can be won only by surrender, just as only death can secure immortality. And in a way, the schoolboys were absolutely right. It really was Ramana Maharshi who had tied Chadwick up in that belt and kept him marooned here. His freedom to leave whenever he chose was purely theoretical. In practice, his predicament was worse than Robinson Crusoe's had ever been. At least Crusoe had awoken each day to the hope that a ship might appear to take him home. No ship could ever come for Chadwick, for this was a magical isle where the chains of enchantment were forged by the castaway himself. The most hopeless prisoner of all is the one who conspires in his own captivity. A determined convict can file away the bars, loosen the bricks of the cell, or dig a tunnel with a teaspoon. As long as the will to escape remains, anything is possible. But from the moment Chadwick set eyes on Ramana Maharishi, he was lost. That meditation belt was the perfect symbol of the magic circle in which he found himself trapped. Although he appeared to wrap himself up in it and fasten the catches with his own hands, his actions were no longer his own. Those schoolboys were closer to the truth than they could have known. For Bhagavan had not tied Chadwick up only in a symbolic sense. It later turned out that Ramana had made that restraining belt with his own hands, given it to Chadwick as a gift, and then sworn him to secrecy. The adoration he inspired meant that Ramana had to be very careful. If he wrote a line for someone in a book, he would find himself besieged by requests to do the same thing again, and the old hall would soon have resembled a bookshop where a famous author was signing copies. If Ramana had taken it into his head to go on an expedition somewhere, the entire ashram would have trooped behind him. In short, nobody was more hopelessly marooned on this little island than Prospero, Bhagavan himself. That was why he swore Chadwick to secrecy when he presented him with his belt. If news of this go out, everyone would want one, and before you knew it, the ashram bookstall would be marketing the famous Ramana Maharishi meditation belt. It is a measure of how solemnly Chadwick treated his master's commands that he kept the secret for so many years. Even when he came to write his reminiscences, he didn't let anything slip. But eventually, in a conversation with Sri Ganesan, he revealed who had really made the belt. "Why didn't you put that in your book?" said Ganesan. "You could at least have given us a clue." "But I did give you a clue," said Chadwick. "Read it again." So here is what a sadhu's reminiscences has to say on the subject of the famous belt. "I had then, and still have, considerable difficulty in sitting on the floor for any length of time, in spite of years of practice. Afterwards, I devised a meditation belt of cotton cloth, which I brought round from the back across my raised knees, and with this support could sit comfortably for long periods. Such belts are regularly used by yogis, though strange as it may seem. I had no idea of this when I devised my own. Bhagavan told me that his father had had one but had not used it in public. If this is Chadwick's idea of a clue, it makes one wonder how many other secrets his reminiscences may hold. You could certainly read the book any number of times without beginning for a moment to suspect what had actually happened. But it seems that as a boy, Ramana had noticed his father using such a belt. Years later, realizing Chadwick's determination to sit in his presence and the difficulties he had in doing so, He had recreated the belt and presented it to him. Chadwick's secrecy about this after so many years does seem rather excessive. Perhaps he kept quiet, not so much out of a lingering reluctance to break a promise to Bhagavan, no matter how redundant it had become, as from a reluctance to blow his own trumpet, for the meditation belt was yet more evidence of the special care and attention lavished on this particular castaway by the enchanter of the isle. It was also the nearest Ramana could come to blowing his own trumpet, an implicit confirmation that his own silent presence was the ultimate meditation aid. In his presence, people made extraordinarily rapid progress. All they had to do was sit there. When asked how best to make use of this opportunity, the Maharishi replied, "Keep your mind still. That is enough. You will get spiritual help sitting in this hall if you keep yourself still. The aim of all practices is to give up all practices. When the mind becomes still, the power of the self will be experienced. The waves of the self are pervading everywhere. If the mind is in peace, one begins to experience them."